I'd like to also extend my welcome to those that are here this evening. Tonight I've decided not to use the PowerPoint, so if you want to grab a Bible, we'll be turning to a couple passages this evening. To begin the lesson, I'd like you to think back to when you were a child. We were taught a lot of things as children, a lot of simple things. I mean, obviously we knew nothing coming into this world. Things like, don't touch a hot stove. Look both ways before you cross the street. Things we didn't know, right? Once we started learning certain things, we became a little more confident. We learned how to walk. Great. Feels good. But wait, make sure you look both ways before you cross the street. So it's a little freaky, you know, you learn to cross the street, but eventually you get used to it. You learn to look both ways. You're comfortable with it. You build your own sort of comfort zone, if you will. You get older, you learn more things. At first, you're probably terrible at it. You learn baseball. You can't hit it at all. You know, all that. It's normal. But you're learning. You're building these skills. Eventually, you get good at it. You expand your comfort zone. All of a sudden, you find you feel good. Think about also the first day of school. You're about to go into school. Not very comfortable. You're about to leave your parents for the first time, but your parents drop you off knowing this is in your best interest. You need to go to school. You need to learn. And it might be outside the comfort zone of the parent as well, but they know that it's in your best interest, so they're going to do it anyway. So my point with all this is that in life, there are a lot of things that we have to learn, a lot of things that we need to do that are beyond what we're comfortable with at first anyway. But once we start getting into them, once we start doing them, we recognize these things are kind of important. They're going to help me grow as a person. So dropping, say, you know, going to school for the first time, it's not very comfortable. But as you go through school, you realize, you learn, etc., etc. With our spiritual life, God is our Father, so He does the same sort of thing for us, right? So we first become a Christian, we don't really know anything, right, in terms of you know, what God expects, all that kind of stuff. But God gives us commands, expects us to push ourselves or, you know, have other people push us to grow and to be a more profitable servant in His kingdom. So tonight, what we're going to look at is, one, how does God do that in our own lives? How does God kind of push us in the right direction? We're going to look at some examples of people in the Bible that have, you know, learned to either do this, or people that have failed to do so and the consequences thereof, and then kind of make some application. What can we do in our own life, in our own lives? So the first passage I'd like to look at this evening is in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting verse 6. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So it's like we were talking about a few minutes ago. God understands that we need to be disciplined. There's a lot of things that we don't understand, a lot of things in His Word. Once we start learning things, why is this wrong? Why is this such a big deal? Well, we may not understand it yet, but God knows that it's in our best interest. Just like we were talking about our parents, there's a lot of things that parents understand children need to do. They're not going to get it, maybe not until they're an adult, why this is so essential for their lives, but eventually they'll learn and they'll grow and get into it. God does the same thing for us spiritually. Think about for a moment as well, that's what Jesus did when He came to this earth. He was teaching His disciples so many different things that they had never even heard of, way outside their comfort zone, right? Teaching them to serve each other, teaching them to, you know, do all sorts of things. Total shock for them, because growing up, all they ever knew was the complete opposite. Why would I serve other people? Think about what Jesus was teaching His disciples, how to, you know, washing their feet and teaching them to serve others. Totally foreign to them. But eventually, once they started kind of getting into the principles of that and recognizing the greatness of serving others, they started to do a lot of great things. Let's go over now to Genesis chapter 12. We'll start getting into more examples of people that are, or that pushed themselves kind of beyond their own comfort zone and did a lot of things for God. Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now kind of put yourself in Abram at the time, but Abraham's shoes. He's lived here probably his whole life, I would guess, right? He's 75, probably pretty comfortable where he lives. But God says, hey, I want you to leave this, leave your family, leave everything, and I'm going to take you to a land that I will show you. Maybe Abraham probably didn't understand at the time why this was so important. Why do I have to leave my country? Why do I have to leave everything that I know, go to some foreign land? But, I mean, as us looking back, we recognize that was the start of Israel, and that was the start of the whole lineage of Christ, the whole plan of salvation. God had a whole huge plan laid out. Abraham didn't see it. But because he was willing to push himself beyond what he was comfortable doing, he was able to start a plan that would save lots of people. Let's consider also Joseph when he was, you know, sold into slavery. Another, you know, situation completely out of his comfort zone, didn't know what he was doing. Even when he got to a place where he was sort of comfortable, he had to deal with Potiphar's wife, and all of a sudden he's thrown in jail, and you know, the whole, you know, the rest of the story. The point with that, though, is he endured, he kept pushing himself, he kept, you know, trusting in what God told him. And he recognized that there were certain things that he had to do, even though he didn't understand, he trusted God, kept going. And he was able to save Israel from their, you know, from the drought. Think about Moses. Same kind of thing, right? He was very comfortable, probably, living in Pharaoh's house. Prince of Egypt, so to speak. Had everything. But he recognized that God was the supreme king. You know, he obviously, Pharaoh is not king. So he decided to endure the ill treatment with his people. Go, you know, kind of where it was he decided to go through the hard path, not the easy path, I guess you could say. Pushed himself. How about Daniel facing the king? King made a statue, says, you know, his servants said, anyone that doesn't decide to bow down to the statue, we're going to, you know, throw you in prison and do all kinds of horrible things to you. Daniel didn't ever cave. Even when it came to the point of facing, you're going to be thrown into this lion's den, submit to the king, stop worshiping your God. Didn't matter. Pretty uncomfortable situation, I would imagine. How about Noah building his ark? He's the only one. Everyone thinks he's probably crazy, right? You know, what are you doing building this giant thing? Probably took him a long time because it wasn't a small project. Again, he kept pushing himself, going kind of beyond what he knew was comfortable, maybe not even fully understanding everything that was, you know, going on with the situation, but he kept going. He kept doing what was right. How about Paul? Same kind of thing. Persecuted Christians, doing all sorts of things. He was comfortable with it, you know, growing up in the law, doing all sorts of things, and all of a sudden finding out, hey, you're persecuting the church. You need to turn your life around. But look at what he became. He was willing to push himself continually. He went through being stoned, shipwrecked, and all sorts of other things. But he became one of the most profitable servants in God's kingdom, period. Now let's kind of shift gears. We'll take a look at some examples of people that didn't really want to go outside of their own comfort zone. They were fine where they were. They didn't really, just let me do my own thing. How about Jonah? Pretty good example. God said, hey, I need you to go over to Nineveh, tell them that they need to repent. judgment time, you know, essentially for them. Jonah didn't want to do it. He didn't feel comfortable with it. Why would I want to go save them? So he fled. Big consequences, right? He gets swallowed by the great fish, sorts his mind out, gets his mind right, and all of a sudden he realizes, okay, I'll go do it. So, I mean, the story ends up well, you know, the people repent and everything goes great, but Jonah didn't really see the big picture and all that. He didn't recognize that him going kind of outside his comfort zone would cause an entire city to repent and they could continue on instead of being destroyed. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll take a look at the passage over here. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So the message to these people, obviously, is that they never pushed themselves at all. They were probably a little uncomfortable learning the gospel. They became Christians. They started, you know, they're part of a church. But then that was kind of it. They didn't really go much beyond that. So they're being condemned here, you know, saying, look, you didn't learn anything. In fact, you're at a point now where you kind of need to relearn everything because you didn't really get it the first time around. Looking back at 13, everyone who partakes of only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. They're not able to discern good and evil. Without kind of pushing yourself to grow, without going anywhere in life, especially with the scriptures, you're going to be swept away pretty easily by, who knows, you know, false teaching and all that. Let's go over to Matthew 25. This is perhaps the biggest example, or at least one of the most clear examples. Matthew 25, we'll start in verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and gained 5 talents more. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one also who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I had scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has shall be given more, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. and cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In the place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So imagine the master of this household is probably the master because he knows the most out of everybody. He knows kind of what he's doing with his money. He entrusts his servants to, you know, to earn more while he's away. That may not be very comfortable for them to do. They may not be kind of used to that. That's kind of his job, right? All three of them were put in a position where you have to kind of do something while I'm away. It's going to be a little uncomfortable for you. But the first two kind of recognize this responsibility. They push themselves. They recognize the opportunity. And they made gain. They did exactly what the master entrusted them to do. Whereas the other one, he didn't really want to do that. He was comfortable where he was. I've never done this before, maybe. I don't want to have to do this. You know, he's going to get mad at me. I'm going to end up losing the talent anyway. Why bother? So he hid the money. But the servant came back and said, you were lazy. You didn't even bother pushing yourself. You didn't even try. The same thing is going to be said about us, though. If we don't push ourselves as Christians, if we don't try at all, we'll be called lazy, and we're not going to be accepted by the Lord. So let's kind of tie all this together. Let's kind of summarize. When we start as Christians, we are very uncomfortable. But then we start learning the basics of things, right? We get into going to worship. We get into stop doing bad things, bad habits, all those kind of things. You become comfortable. But then you kind of plateau if you don't keep pushing yourselves, if you don't keep trying to learn more things. We have to keep pushing beyond that plateau. If we don't, like I said, with the example of the servants, we're not going to be accepted. And with the other, with Hebrews, same thing. We'll be condemned for not trying to grow. We'll have to relearn everything. We're not really acceptable at all. There's a passage that talks about how athletes in this life, they push themselves. They go for this perishable crown. We should be kind of put to shame if we're not willing to do the same thing for a much greater prize. So what can we do then to kind of get beyond this comfort zone? The first thing that we can do is be prepared to search the scriptures like the Bereans did, gaining more knowledge, educating ourselves in God's word, knowing what we have to do in order to actually make it to heaven. Once we do that, we have to go out and actually do it. Keep pushing yourself. If you don't, it's like the athlete. If you don't keep practicing, you don't keep trying to learn more, you keep trying to increase your skill, you're going to either lose it or you're just going to be kind of stuck where you are. We're told that we have to become vessels of honor. We have to be prepared, ready to do what we're supposed to do. 2 Timothy 2:15 commands us to be diligent to present yourselves approved of God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So I encourage you to take a look at yourself. Are you prepared? Have you even taken that step? Or are you kind of stuck where you are? I think sometimes as more mature Christians, we see ourselves and, well, I know a lot about the Bible and I know how to teach other people, but does that mean that we're done growing? Well, no, it doesn't. We have to keep growing. There's always something more that we can do. Until we become sinless, there's always more. So what do you do in your own lives? Do you look for opportunities to spread the word? It's not a very comfortable thing to go out and talk to people, especially people that you don't know. Especially in this day and age, right? Because there's so many people that don't really want to hear it. You may get a lot of backlash by even mentioning the Bible at all. But does that stop you? Because it shouldn't. It should really be the opposite, right? You know that these people are really, their souls are in danger. They need the gospel. We have to kind of push ourselves. Imagine, or rather think about the people that taught you right? What if they weren't ever comfortable with it? What if they were kind of stuck in their own zone and, I like the brethren here and people don't really want to hear the gospel, so I'm not even going to bother. What if they did that with you? You wouldn't even be here, right? So don't do that to the next person that could learn the gospel. You need to push yourself so that they can be saved. Imagine how grateful they would be knowing that you push yourself, now all of a sudden they have eternal life, or at least a hope for it. It reminds me of the song that we have, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." It's just this topic. If you don't push yourself, you don't mention it, you don't even bother, all of a sudden you might find that you missed a lot of opportunities that God gave you. You could have helped so many people be saved, but because you weren't really comfortable, it just, that's a little hard, I don't really want to do that. All of a sudden you find you could have saved a lot of people, but you didn't. So for those of us that aren't Christians, becoming a Christian is not an easy thing. It's not very comfortable. You have to change your life. You have to, you know, break all these bad habits. You have to start doing a lot of things. A lot of things that you know, all of a sudden, they're wrong. You have to change that. It's not a comfortable thing. Like we were discussing earlier, with going to school, right? You don't understand at first, but you grow into it. You understand that it helps your brethren, all that. What about those of us that are Christians? Maybe you have kind of got stuck, right? You got into this rut. You got to push past that. And if you can't push past that, that's what the brethren are for, right? You prepare yourself. You learn how to do new things. You can help each other, push each other, go farther, do more. There's always more that can be done. And I think Paul is probably the best example of that because of how often he pushed himself, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter what he faced, he kept pushing, he kept growing. So as Christians, the only way that we can get to heaven is to keep going, to keep pushing ourselves beyond that comfort zone. So I encourage you to reflect on your own life this evening. If there's anything that you haven't done, maybe you've missed opportunities, that's not okay. To him that knoweth to do good and does not, to him it is sin. So by not pushing yourself, you are sinning. By passing these opportunities, you could have saved someone. You never know. We don't know. We won't find out until the judgment day, and God could have said, "Look, I sent you these people. You didn't do anything about it." I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that situation. And for those of you that are not Christians, you need to start. You need to push yourself, kind of get out of that worldliness. It's not going to be a comfortable journey for a while, but eventually you'll start growing into, you'll start recognizing it was the right choice. So if we can help you in any way this evening, please come forward as we stand and sing.